Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Six Nations on the Left Wing podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Left Wing. I'm Sinead Cassan. Well, it's here. It's opening week of the 2023 Six Nations, and we'll bring you extra podcasts on the weeks of the championship. Now, this episode, Keane Tracy will be here to give us an update on the Ireland squad who are training in the Algarve. We'll go through the selection calls that Andy Farrell faces for Saturday's opener with Wales. Warren Gatland was able to get under Joe Schmidt's skin. Can he do the same with Andy Farrell? And we'll also look at the shocking backdrop to this game with the CEO of Welsh Rugby resigning at the weekend amid allegations of a toxic culture at the organisation. Keane Tracy is here. Keane, the IRFU sent out an update at lunchtime and there were reports last night that Ulster hooker Tom Stewart has joined the squad in Portugal because of a fitness issue with Ronan Kelleher. So that's been confirmed now.
Yeah, Ronan Kelleher has a hamstring injury, Sinead. Not ideal, particularly for a guy who, you know, is really important. You might forget how important he's been because he missed most of Ireland's games last year with injuries as well. And he missed the November internationals, I'm pretty sure, with a hamstring injury. And it was a shoulder injury that he had during the Six Nations when he picked it up in that France game. And that cost him going on the summer tour as well. So it's concerning for a guy, I think, so young, who picks up a lot of injuries. Like, I would have covered Ronan Kelleher when he was playing schools rugby and for the Ireland under-20s, and I seem to recall that he was a guy who picked up a lot of injuries. I think he's just such a, a finely-tuned athlete that, like, any sort of knock seems to set him back. And it's really unfortunate because he is so important, I think, to Ireland. We've spoken so often about, you know, having that 1-2 dynamic with Dan Sheehan, like either one of them to come off the bench. And now you'd have to say Dan Sheehan is kind of comfortably on his own as Ireland's first choice hooker. But like Ronan Kelleher still has a huge amount to offer. Thankfully, the RFU haven't ruled him out definitively for this weekend. But at the same time, if it's a hamstring injury, you can't imagine they're going to take any chances. So it's a pity for him, but what an opportunity for Tom Stewart. He's been going really, really well. And, you know, like he could easily come into the frame for the World Cup. Like, there's been some of the big games this season for Ulster. He's been picked ahead of Rob Herring. Now, Rob Herring does have a lot of credit in the bank with Ireland. He's a strong set-piece operator. We know how good he is around the mall. But I would say Tom Stewart is more in line with Dan Sheehan and Ronan Kelleher in terms of what he offers you around the pitch. So, yeah, I'm fascinated to see how he goes. I wouldn't imagine he'll come into the reckoning for this weekend. I mean, Dan Sheehan would start, you'd imagine, and Rob Herring on the bench. But Tom Stewart, that's definitely opened up for him to make an appearance in the Six Nations. And like I said, I think he can offer a lot, especially if he goes back to Ulster and he's getting selected ahead of Rob Herring for more of those games. Come the World Cup, he could definitely be in the conversation.
Okay, we'll see how that goes now. Andy Farrell names his Ireland team on Thursday. So they're obviously still out in the Algarve and our colleague Rory O'Connor is heading out there today. So he'll be reporting from there from tomorrow, Tuesday. So names the team on Thursday, Keane. Look, it looks like a very settled team, but he will have, Andy Farrell, some interesting calls to make this week. At 12, obviously, in the absence of Robbie Henshaw, the makeup of the back row, the composition of the bench, who's the backup to Johnny Sexton, assuming, of course, that he will indeed be fit to play in Cardiff. So let's start at 12. Who is Farrell picking? Stuart McCloskey, Bundy Aki, or the new kid, Jamie Osborne?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I think that is, if we're being honest, that is the one, you know, headache, but it's probably a good headache that he has, because I think there's been times in the past where Ireland have been short centres and, you know, they've kind of been scratching around. And while Aki, Henshaw and Ringrose, you know, have been reliable performers, it's so encouraging to have a guy like Stuart McCloskey back playing so well. And now Jamie Osborne, like you mentioned, the new kid on the block. So, like, I was impressed with Stuart McCloskey last November. I think he was going really well in that South Africa game. I don't think the attack went. Now, he obviously picked up the injury and he made a miraculous recovery. Everyone thought he was going to be out for ages. I didn't think like Ireland in general went well in the Fiji game. And then in the Australia game, I thought he did okay. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from him, if I'm being honest. And I think Top Bundiaki came off the bench and made a big, big impact. So it's not a clear-cut decision. I would like to see McCloskey getting another chance. He had the few weeks in camp in November. I'd say he's far more clued in terms of what's going on because he was out in the cold for so long. But then again, you know what Bundiaki can deliver. He obviously has his own issues going on. At Connacht, he's coming in with very, very little game time. And that's a risk as well. I think there are certain players that you can throw straight back into it. Johnny Sexton is one. Ironically enough, Robbie Henshaw is one as well. And I think if we were talking about, you know, Robbie Henshaw, you'd have no fears putting him back in at all. But Bundiaki's played so little rugby over the last while. So Jamie Osborne, you'd say, is a wild card selection. He's been going really, really well. But in terms of making up the ground in such a short space of time, I think it would be a surprise, if we're being honest, to see him start. But it's a good headache to have. If I was to nail my colours to the mast, I'd imagine maybe Stuart McCloskey to start with Bundiaki on the bench. I mean, Andy Farrell has really opted for, I know we can get on and talk about the makeup of the bench because that is going to be interesting too, but he's tended to go for like a Bundiaki type in the number 23 jersey, when lots of head coaches will say like a Jordan Larmour or a Jimmy O'Brien, guys who can cover multiple positions. But Andy Farrell, I think, likes that power to come off the bench. And, we know it's going to be an absolute battle in Cardiff this weekend. So I think having a guy like Bundiaki, we saw what he delivered against Australia. And if he comes off the bench again and makes a big impact, then certainly he'd come into the equation to start against France. But I think it would send out a good message to the squad in terms of, you know, keeping hold of the jersey. You hear it so often rolled out as a cliche, but I think Stuart McCloskey has done enough even in a struggling Ulster team. I think he's one of the few who's actually
done well. Yeah. Keane, the makeup of the back row, is that a fairly straightforward choice for Farrell? Obviously Josh van der Fleer in there, Caelan Doris in there, and then Peter O'Mahony joining them as well. Obviously he got that red card 2 years ago and I'm sure we'll be dying to get another crack at it.
Yeah, I think it is a fairly straightforward selection decision, really, Sinead. You know, you talk about going to Cardiff in the battle, and I know it maybe got a bit better Peter O'Mahony the last time, but generally speaking, he's been really good and he's exactly the type of guy you want going there. So, yeah, I think the back row selection is fairly straightforward, and I think you get Caelan Doris in his best position at number 8 too.
Absolutely. Ross Byrne, is he the backup to Johnny Sexton on the bench?
Yeah, I would like to see Jack Crowley, to be honest, like being given a shot. I think it will depend. We've already touched on who will wear 23. I think if you're going to pick a Bundiaki who can pretty much only play 12 and 13, I think it would be no harm to have a guy like Jack Crowley who can, you know, cover full back if necessary. But if you go on the bench with Ross Byrne and Bundiaki, you're almost going to pigeonholing yourself into guys who aren't that versatile. So that would be a bit of a risk, I think, from Andy Farrell. And I think Jack Crowley's done really well since he's gone into Ireland camp. Ross Byrne fully merits his, you know, recall into there. I think if Johnny Sexton was out injured, I think you might be thinking maybe Ross Byrne could be more suited to start. But I would like to see Jack Crowley, like Andy Farrell has spoken, you know, about wanting to invest time in him. So I think this is another opportunity to back Jack Crowley because he was the guy in the squad, let's not forget, in November before Ross Byrne came in. So I'd like to see Jack Crowley continue there.
And anything else about that squad selection that you will be keeping a particular eye out for on Thursday?
I'd like to see, I think, Ryan Baird maybe given a shot on the bench. I mean, Jack Conan is, you know, there. We know what he can deliver. But I think in terms of making an impact off the bench, Ryan Baird's explosivity could give you a lot. I think it'll be interesting to see if, you know, Ian Henderson is fit, who will be the backup lock. Will they go to Joe McCarthy? I think if Ian Henderson was fit, they'd definitely like to get him back up to speed. He's been a bit of a, I think, a slow burner since he's come back from his injury from Ulster. But we know how important he is to Ireland when he's fully fit. So you could have Ryan Baird on there covering lock, even though I think he's far more suited to playing six than he is in the second row, particularly at test level. So I'd like to see him. I think it's going to be interesting to see if Keane Healy will be on the bench or Dave Kilcoyne. For similar kind of reasons, if you're looking for an explosive impact off the bench. But then again, you might want Keane Healy to lock down the scrum, particularly if the scrum has any issues, which we could get on to talk to.
So Ireland named their team on Thursday. So too does Warren Gatland. Look, there's been obviously a horrific backdrop to this game in Cardiff with the BBC Wales documentary broadcast last week, which aired allegations of a toxic environment of misogyny, sexism at the governing body. And yesterday, then Sunday morning, in an email sent at 6 a.m., the Welsh Union confirmed that Steve Phillips, who had previously resisted calls for his resignation, had resigned from his position, Keane, as CEO of Welsh Rugby.
Yeah, it's shocking, really, isn't it? And I think just the latest, I think the Nigel Walker, who's obviously come in as chief executive, did a press conference this morning. I'm just going to read in his quotes just before we came on, and it's unbelievably stark. And just read out one here. If we are not prepared to change, the future of Welsh rugby and the Welsh Rugby Union is in danger. I can't put it any more bluntly than that. So,
but yeah, it needed to be that strong.
No, absolutely it did. Yeah. It was really shocking. Like, I mean, we've all known for so long that the problems in Welsh rugby run so deep, but that's got to do with, like, the, you know, the clubs and the kind of the disillusionment, you'd have to say, from the top down. But to hear this kind of stuff was absolutely shocking, particularly when you have, you know, women on the record coming out and speaking so strongly about it. So this is not what Wales want. That's not what Wales need coming into massive Six Nations. And, you know, Warren Gatland's come back, and you know, I'm sure that he'd like to get his teeth stuck into a lot of the issues that's going on behind the scenes, but even he wouldn't have imagined that something like this would come out. So it's really, really damaging, you'd have to say, for the sport, but at least they seem to be trying to make amends now. But it's going to take a lot more than that, isn't it? Just a few words. You're going to need to see it backed up by actions too.
Absolutely, it will. You mentioned there then about, you know, Warren Gatland. What will the areas, Keane, that you think, you know, in the next coming days, that he will look to go after in the Irish game? I mean, we saw how the Ospreys were able to dominate Leinster at the scrum and the lineup mode in their URC game earlier this month. Obviously, look, different gravy and all that, but where will he feel that his Welsh team can go after Ireland on Saturday?
I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think the scrum and the line-out maul will be definitely an area. I think all teams are going to go after Ireland there. We've seen it with Leinster, not even just in that Ospreys game. The Leinster scrum struggle against Gloucester and Racing as well. So obviously you have different personnel in there, but it's by and large a Leinster pack. So yeah, like if Ireland start earning a reputation as a team for giving away scrum penalties, that's a real slippery slope to go down. If you remember back in the first test in New Zealand, they really struggled at the scrum, but they got their act together in the second or the third test. But like that New Zealand, for all that, you know, that they're good, that All Blacks pack isn't the most fearsome scrummaging unit. So you think of the tests that Ireland have ahead, like even next week, France coming to Dublin, you know, they're going to play South Africa again at the World Cup. Now, to be fair, I did think the Ireland scrum held up well in November, particularly against South Africa, but it is an area of concern. Tadhg Furlong comes into the Six Nations on the back of very little game time as well. Now, he can usually hit the ground running too. I know he mentioned Johnny Sexton and Robbie Henshaw earlier, like they can do it. Tadhg Furlong is one as well, but I think Philly Beelam has done really well when stepping into his shoes, but I still think the gap is pretty sizable. So there's no excuses really from an Irish point of view, because like the front row that's going to start is an all Leinster front row. You're going to have Tadhg Byrne in the second row with James Ryan, and then in the back row you're going to have Peter O'Mahony with two Leinster players as well. So like these guys know each other, they know each other well, but there's definitely chinks in the armor there, I think, that teams are going to go after, and no one better than Warren Gatland and that Welsh scrum, because like you're probably going to have two of the Ospreys props starting as well, with Ken Owens obviously at hooker, and they won't fear that Irish scrum whatsoever, considering the damage they caused against Leinster a few weeks ago. Now it will be a stronger Leinster team, particularly with Tadhg Furlong back in there, but you know, I would still have concerns that if Tadhg Furlong or even if Andrew Porter got injured, I just don't think the strength and depth at prop is probably where it needs to be. We spoke about, you know, the luxury you have at hooker when Ronan Kelleher and Dan Sheehan are both fit, but I just don't think the strength and depth is the same across the board as it is in probably a lot of other positions.
Yeah, and no one better either than Warren Gatland when it comes to mind games. It's great to have him back, even though it feels like he's never been away from the Six Nations when you kind of hear the interviews he's done. So do you remember that time, the interview Gatland gave off the ball in 2019? This was after the World Cup, because Joe Schmidt never won a Six Nations game in Cardiff against Wales. But Warren Gatland said when they both finished up after the 2019 World Cup that, quote, Joe Schmidt seems to get more wound up the week Ireland are playing Wales, because if I say anything, it absolutely drives him crazy. And Gatland also intimated that he could use his media appearances to almost get Schmidt to change his tactics. So we know that Gatland you know, had an ability to get under Schmidt's skin. I don't know if that tactic will work with Andy Farrell, though.
No, I don't think so. And even at the Six Nations launch last week in London, there was plenty of opportunities to throw a grenade or two in. But first of all, it's not really Andy Farrell's style. So even if Gatlin did, I just don't think he would bite on it at all. And Gatlin obviously knows Andy Farrell so well from their time working together with the Lions. So I think he probably picks and chooses his moments when to go after different coaches. And clearly it got under Joe Schmidt's skin. But this is something that Steve Borthwick was actually asked about at the launch as well. You know, your predecessor was very fond of, you know, throwing a great grenade or two in, and he just kind of laughed it off. So I think, you know, for all that Eddie Jones's flaws, and sometimes he did overstep the line, you do kind of, especially from our point of view in the media, like you do enjoy the bit of mind games that go on behind the scenes. But there's still, what we're chatting on Monday, Sinead, there's still plenty of time left in the week. And I know you're going to go over and you're going to cover the press conference, but I just don't get the sense that, you know, that kind of thing is going to happen this time around. But no. Never say never when it comes to Warren Gatland. You never know what he'd have up his sleeve.
No, very true, very true. Okay, Keen, just to wrap, tell us the three things you'd like to see in this Six Nations.
Well, from an Irish point of view, I think like locking down that scrum is so important, because I think if, like I said, if Ireland started earning a reputation as a team that give away penalties, I think that's something that could linger going into the World Cup as well, which would be really damaging. I'd like to see the game plan evolve a little bit more. I think there's plenty of scope for improvement, particularly in the attack. We've seen, you know, the variation around, you know, 5 meter tap penalties, even in terms of strike moves, I still feel like there's probably more that, you know, in the locker of Mike Catt. And now that the players are really comfortable within the system, I think it would be brilliant to see a little bit more of that, because that's obviously what happened in 2019. They just didn't evolve enough. So I think there were enough signs in November, even in that the Ireland A game against the All Blacks 15, that opposition teams were starting to figure out, you know, little bits of how to nullify Ireland. Now, they still found a way to get the job done, which was hugely, hugely encouraging. I think it'd be great to see Ireland go like in with a shout of winning the championship on the last day, the day after Paddy's Day, with England coming down. That would just be a brilliant weekend. I suppose I look in kind of further afield, I'm just fascinated to see how Ben Healy gets on with Scotland. You know, it's like such an interesting kind of subplot to the whole thing. John Cooney could come into the reckoning as well, like later in the tournament once he qualifies. I think it's on the 23rd of February, I think, off the top of my head. So like, that's really, really interesting. I mean, like, having guys who know the Irish system and like the amount of IP that they bring, like, I mean, you can't really, like, you know, underestimate how important that is, particularly when, excuse me, when Ireland are going to play Scotland at the pool stages of the World Cup as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we even see Ben Healy on the bench for that Ireland game, because I think, you know, it might even spook a couple of the players in some kind of weird way. So I'm fascinated to see how that goes. And I suppose just to see how Steve Borthwick gets on with England. And, you know, they've brought in Nick Evans, who did such a brilliant job, or is still doing a brilliant job with Harlequins. But like, is he going to be given the freedom to play that attacking style of play at test level? Because, you know, it kind of reminds me a bit of when Wayne Pivac came in with Wales and he tried to play the style of play with the Scarlet, and it didn't translate at all, and he ended up paying the price. So how will Borthwick allow a guy who, you'd have to imagine, is a little bit, he sees the game a little bit differently, I would say, that he does. So what kind of an impact can he have? And then obviously Warren Gatland, you know, no better man when your back's against the wall to turn it around. But he doesn't have the same squad, and he doesn't have, you'd say, the same caliber of backroom team that he had, like when Sean Edwards was there as well. So I think it's one of the most fascinating Six Nations in a long time, obviously for, you know, plenty of those reasons I touched on. And always in a World Cup year, the Six Nations just adds plenty of, I would say, extra spice, because like, we should appreciate the Six Nations for what it is, but like, you can't ignore what's coming down the line. And while, you know, winning a Six Nations doesn't mean that, if Ireland were to win the Six Nations, doesn't mean that they're finally going to get past the World Cup quarterfinal. But we saw in 2019, if you have a really poor Six Nations and teams begin to find you out, it can really have a damaging effect by the time the World Cup comes around. So, I think it's, there's just so much to look forward to, I think, over the next few weeks.
And so who are your champions, and will there be a Grand Slam?
Yeah, I don't think there'd be a Grand Slam. Yeah. There is a bit of an unknown with it all, isn't it? Like, just with Gatlin coming back in, with Borthwick coming in, how long is it going to take them to find their feet? I think like, Wales will relish having Ireland first up at a sold-out Millennium Stadium, and that could really set the tone. I still think, I know they have a few injuries, but I just still think France are the team to beat. You know, Ireland are the number one ranked team in the world, but so much of that is down to like the ranking system is so hard to get your head around. And like France went to Japan last summer, they didn't send their full team. So like, did that count the same number of ranking points? And I know they have, yeah, like a couple of injuries, but they're still the team to beat. Like they showed that last year in the Six Nations. But I think it would be fascinating to see if Ireland can get one over on them. They obviously, they're a bit of an outlier now. You know, they beat the All Blacks twice in New Zealand last year, but they still haven't beaten this French team. So this weekend will definitely set the tone for Ireland. But if as long as they're in the hunt for the title on the last day, like I said, I think that would be fascinating. And I don't think, like, you know, they have to win a Grand Slam either to think that this year is going to be successful. They could still potentially lose to France and play well. And, you know, they might be beaten on points difference or whatever in the Six Nations. And that would still be a relatively, I would say, successful Six Nations, as long as you get the sense that they're still building. So I would tip France maybe, but very narrowly ahead of Ireland.
Oh yeah, should be a cracking championship. Keane Tracy, thanks for that. Now, before we go on tomorrow's podcast, we've got an interview with referee Andrew Brace. He'll be refereeing the Six Nations game between Scotland and Wales in round two at Murrayfield. And he'll also be an assistant ref in two other Six Nations games. Now, it's a good time to talk to a referee. There's been a lot going on, but here's Andrew talking about the level of social media abuse that he and his family have received in the past.
You know, start saying, oh, I hope you all die of COVID, and hope you, like, on the back of obviously my father's obituary, and saying, I hope you die too. And so it was tough. You know, it's not nice to read them, but like, I don't remember, somebody once said to me, if you're on there, you take the bad with the good. And that's kind of, some people can agree to that. Yeah. But how do you then draw the line if your family are on there? You know, do you now say to your family, you can't be on there because I'm a referee? And that's a really difficult one then.
So that interview with Andrew Brace will be coming into your Left Wing podcast feed tomorrow, Tuesday. Thanks again to Keane Tracy for joining us and to you for listening. Bye for now.
The Six Nations on the Left Wing podcast. Rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.